Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
I want to welcome you to the podcast today. My name is Chris Crane, and you're listening to Undivided. And I have the pleasure of hosting in the studio today Don Setzer, who is a certified public accountant, and he is a specialist when it comes to helping churches and ministers with their accounting needs and tax preparation. So welcome to the podcast, Don.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, Dr. Crane.
Well, we're so glad to have you, and I want to thank you for your years of service. Don has served many of our Southern Baptist entities and been on trustee boards, et cetera. So thank you for doing that, giving your time.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
I have several questions. We are in the, if you're listening in the future, we're recording this podcast in February of 2023, and a lot of folks are getting their W-2s and all their information together, and they're preparing for turning in those taxes and filling out those forms. So, Don, I'm curious, in your experience, do pastors have difficulty filling out their taxes?
Well, I would say that in looking at some of the spiritual gifts of ministers, there are certain circumstances where the gift of administration, as far as their tax return preparation, may not be on the top of the list. but we have worked with ministers for many, many years, and we've got some checklists that we utilize to assist them in gathering their information and making it as easy as possible. And so once we get rolling with the process, it usually goes very smoothly.
Well, that's great. And it's good to have people you can call on to help with this important, it's a matter of integrity, making sure you do your best, filling out your taxes and getting that in on time. And I know for me, when I started out, I thought I could just take the information after I'd been ordained down to the local big box tax preparer. And I found out that often those kind of folks, they have little to no experience dealing with the ordained minister and helping them during that time. So what are some issues that are unique to ordained ministers when it comes to tax preparation?
One of the factors is, as an ordained minister, they have a dual status as far as the IRS is concerned. They're an employee of the church for federal and state income tax purposes, but they are considered self-employed for Social Security tax purposes. So a church cannot withhold Social Security and Medicare taxes from their checks like if they were in secular employment, because they're responsible for their own self-employment tax, which is the 15.3%. So that certainly is a unique element of an ordained minister's tax situation. Certainly another one is taking advantage to the best extent possible of a designated housing allowance. If you meet certain qualifications, an ordained minister can exempt some up to even 100% in some cases of their designated housing allowance that is paid to them by the church if they meet certain guidelines, as I mentioned before. And that is a tremendous tax savings for an ordained minister.
That is fantastic. It's interesting, Don. I've run into situations in consulting and talking with finance committees and local churches, and sometimes the churches are confused about that, and they don't know how to deal with that. You know, they don't know how to help the pastor, especially bivocational pastors, with a housing allowance, and they don't know how to fill out a W-2, and some completely put everything on a 1099. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, sir. Again, as an ordained minister, you are an employee of the church, and so you are required to receive a W-2 mm-hmm. from the church. again, as you mentioned, I see that a lot of times, that especially smaller churches that may not have a full-time financial staff or even finance teams that oversee things to the extent that they should, a lot of times churches give their pastors and their other staff members a 1099 NEC form for non-employee compensation, but that is not correct. They are required to get a W-2. And again, as I said, you can have what's called voluntary withholding. If the church and the minister agrees to do so, the minister can work with their accountant, CPA, tax preparer, and determine how much federal income tax and state income tax, if applicable, should be withheld, and that way they don't have to make quarterly estimates, you know, throughout the year. But a W-2 is required for each and every ordained minister that the church has employed.
That's good to know, really good to know, because I have seen that problem over and over and over again. And I'm glad that we have folks to call on like you to help correct that. When it comes to the church, you know, it's interesting. Some churches don't have, like you said, the financial wisdom or experience as a part of their skill set. Maybe it's a small church, and none of those have been in the professional world, especially related to taxes or accounting. So what kind of advice would you give to those churches that really that they don't have that skill set in-house?
If they don't have someone in-house or possibly reaching out when they're setting up their financial teams or committees, maybe look for someone within the church that has some financial background of some sort, either an accountant, a banker, a small business owner, someone that would have had some background and experience doing payroll, those kind of things. Of course, obviously, there are firms like mine and many others that do offer those kinds of services, preparation of payrolls, just consulting. We come in from time to time and meet with finance committees and financial secretaries and the staff and give them an outline of what needs to be done correctly, give them the proper IRS publications to have as a reference tool. And another thing, and I noticed in looking at the website here for Birmingham Metro, if I'm not mistaken, you offer a service to some of your churches within your association that may not be able to handle those kind of things. You provide such services, and I thought that was an excellent idea. It's really the first time I've seen that, to my knowledge, that an association offered that. But I was very intrigued to see that and know that's a blessing for your churches that need those kind of services but just really can't afford them or don't have someone in-house that has experience to do those kinds of things.
Yes, you're right, Don. It's been a value add to our churches. They, many of them do not have someone to handle basic things, just handling the finances. We do everything except tell them how to spend their money, and we can handle it, a full turnkey bookkeeping service and payroll. We do that, and it's been a true blessing, and every one of our clients is so thankful. We've only had positive feedback, and it's good to have someone right here in the area you can call or come down to the office and sit down with them. And our team is great. The individual who leads that team has had a great career in the business world, and so brings a lot of experience to the table, and has some very competent folks working with him to get the job done. So we're grateful for that, and so that certainly is an option for our churches here. We want to help. I think the local association, we have to take that humble posture. What can we do to serve you? And our smaller churches were telling us, we need help with this.
So
we had to organize and arrange our staff in such a way to bring that help. And I'm thankful for you, Don, as a professional serving the church and other organizations. I wondered if you might say a word about financial reporting in the local church. I know some churches that haven't had a published budget for several years, maybe had never had one. Is it important to have at least a financial statement or income statement for your church? What would you say about helping your church with the basic financial documents?
I certainly agree that it's very important. In fact, it's vital. A lot of churches do not think, you know, here's our bank balance and this is how much money we have in the bank and, you know, we move forward. But there's a lot more to looking at the financial health of a church than just knowing what your bank balance is. And so I certainly would agree that having a budget with variances and explanations for differences between what your actual expenses are and what were budgeted is very, very important, something to look at on a regular basis and to present during your monthly or quarterly business meetings that your church would have. It provides accountability. It provides stewardship for God's resources because they're not an individual's resource. It may be the church treasure. They're God's resources. Mm. And it's very important to be accountable for God's resources to your entire membership. And so I think that's very, very important. And having balance sheets, which would show your assets and your liabilities and whatever your net assets would be, and also a statement of income or revenue and expenses to show where you're at year to date and on a monthly basis or quarterly basis, depending on how often it's done. Again, you can track your expenses. You can track your revenues, your tithes and offerings, and take a look at where you're at 3 months into this year versus the first 3 months of a previous year. Everything, for example, looking back and comparing it to COVID, where we had a couple of years of very, very difficult circumstances for a lot of people and certainly for churches with their financial resources and those kind of things. So I think it's very, very important. And again, in the consulting that I do, I often run across churches that are not even using any kind of accounting software. They're using an Excel spreadsheet or just a ledger pad, keeping up with their activities. And it's very difficult to do a lot of analysis when you're doing that and not to be able to see what's going on and how it compares to previous years. So again, I think that's vitally important. And in my firm practices, I see a lot of churches that unfortunately, for whatever the reasons, are not doing that. Maybe it's the cost of the software. We have a prepared list that we gave out a couple of weeks ago to a new church start up in North Alabama that's literally been using an Excel spreadsheet. So I gave them the list of about 10 or 15 accounting and payroll software suggestions that specialize in church accounting for them to take a look at. And I think they're going to utilize one of those where they can, you know, do things in the right fashion.
Well, that's good news for them. If you're listening and you don't know where to start and you need a consultant to come alongside you and help you maybe select a process and software and what types of reporting you need to do in your local church, I would encourage you to call Don. I'm going to give you his number now, but of course you're going to be able to look at the show notes here and get that number. But it is 251-689-5740. Again, that's 251-689-5740. And Don would be glad to work with you, and he's very, very skilled. So I encourage you to call him if your church really doesn't know where to start and you really want to do the best with the Lord's money and see what resources he's blessed you with and how to steward those well. Don can help you. So I'd encourage you to use his services. Call him. Don, I do have a question about audits. I get that question on a regular basis. What kind of audit processes should a church go through? And should those be done on a routine basis? I've had questions about procedures reviews. So could you just talk about all that for us?
Certainly. The American Institute of CPAs has four basic types of services that can be provided to any organization, secular or Christian. One of them is an audit. That's the most expensive process. That's the most detailed process. There are pages and pages of checklists that a CPA firm would have to go through to perform a financial statement audit for a church. If a church does not have something in their loan covenants, if they've borrowed money, sometimes it will require a financial statement audit on an annual or every other year basis, or the church bylaws and constitution may require a financial statement audit. Of course, if either one of those situations arise, you need to adhere to that and take a look at a financial statement audit. But most churches really, unless they have that requirement, may not necessarily need an audit, because one factor is the cost factor. Even for a 100-member church, there's a lot of work that must be done, whether it's a 100-member church or a mega church that has 15,000 members. And financial statement audits can run anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 for a year or even more.
Wow.
And in these days, most churches don't have that kind of resources within their budgets to spend, especially on an annual basis. That's one type of service. There's also what's called a review, which is a little less involved as far as the detail, but it's still pretty costly. Basically, it would just be a lot of analytical work on the part of the CPA firm and doing a lot of interviews with the ministerial staff, the financial secretaries, the financial teams, and so forth. It really doesn't provide a great deal of assistance, especially if you're concerned about the possibility of some potential embezzlement, or sometimes a new pastor will come on board, and just as part of his new transition, he may want, or the church may say, hey, we'd like to get an audit to get everybody off on the positive foot. And the term audit is used a lot. I get a lot of calls. Hey, we need to do an audit. Can you do that? We have done audits in our firm before. Right now, we're not doing them. We do what's called agreed upon procedures, which you mentioned earlier, is the fourth level of service. And what that does, it basically is like going through the cafeteria line. The church will meet with the CPA and determine which services they specifically want. If you have an audit, you've got to do all sorts of stuff. And again, as I said, several thousand dollars. But we have done agreed upon procedures for churches and for associations, as a matter of fact, and it can run $2,000 to $4,000, for example. That's a third of the cost of an audit, but it pinpoints particular areas. For example, if a church says, hey, I'm interested in you looking at payroll for the last 2 years, Well, we can go and do a detailed analysis of payroll and reviewing W-2s and the quarterly returns and personnel files and all those kinds of things to make sure everything is in adherence. But we're not having to do a whole lot of other procedures that would normally be required in an audit that runs the fees up. And so, and then the third one, an audit, a review. The third one is called a compilation. Basically, that's compiling financial statements from the church's records. So if the church doesn't have any financial records, if they don't have any kind of software, you can't really do a compilation. Mm-hmm. And again, the compilation is just basically rehashing the information that the church has already prepared. So again, if you're looking for any concerns about fraud or embezzlement or policies and procedures not being adhered to, that would not really be that beneficial, because again, you're just looking at the financial statements, making sure that utilities expenses in the utilities column, those kind of things. But when you're looking at a more broad-based analysis of what's going on with the policies and procedures of the church, that agreed upon procedures project would be the one that would be most beneficial and the least costly.
Well, that's really good information, Don. And I wish I'd sat down with you 20 years ago. So, you know, someone comes up and says, Pastor, we need an audit. Well, there are some options here, and it's good to know that some of our churches are using procedures reviews and compilations, and there are other ways of looking at the data that you have that might meet the need. So I'm grateful to hear that, Don. And I want to say thank you for being here today in Birmingham. Some of our listeners don't know where Don is from. He is from Saraland, Alabama. So you came all the way up to share with our pastors today, and we are so thankful for your time and for all that you do. Could you just share a little bit about some of the entities that you've served and how you're a committed Southern Baptist, and we appreciate that. So just share how the Lord's used you over the years, Don.
Well, I appreciate that. Just real briefly, I was saved as a 9-year-old in a revival under Dr. Angel Martinez.
Yes.
So for some of the seniors in the audience, they will remember Dr. Martinez, who was a wonderful evangelist of the Southern Baptist Convention for many years. And as a 9-year-old, I came and gave my life to the Lord and grew up in church all my life and my family. And a quick funny story, I was nominated from the floor one Wednesday night in a business meeting to be the church treasurer for a 3,500-member church. I had just graduated from college with my accounting degree and had gone to work for one of the, at the time, called the Big Eight firms. It's now called Ernst & Young, one of the top four firms in the world. They had a local office in Mobile. But that's how I got my baptism, if you will, as far as church leadership and in the financial world. And so at 23, I guess I was, I began that service, and it's been a lifelong journey and one that I have really certainly enjoyed. Again, as you mentioned, I've had the honor and privilege. I've served I served one term back in the early 90s on the Committee on Nominations to select the trustees and so forth for the various entity boards of the Southern Baptist Convention. I served 2 5-year terms as a trustee at the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary in New Orleans, Louisiana. And one of the joys of my professional life and Christian service is to be able to meet the people. Dr. Chuck Kelly was the president during that time, and all of his wonderful staff. And so had those opportunities. At the statewide level, I've served on the Insurance and Accounting and Audit Committee, I think it's called, and I've been honored to speak at several of the financial conferences at Chaco Springs for the Alabama State Board of Missions. And locally, the Mobile Baptist Association, I've served 2 or 3 committees. I'm about to begin a term as on the Personnel Committee for the Mobile Baptist Association. So, I'm a referral for them. A lot of churches in the area that have questions and so forth. Dr. Wright, the DOM there, has given out my information and with permission, and I get calls from time to time with questions like we've talked about today, and love to do that. So I just feel like the Lord has provided me with this education and these experiences. I've done tax returns for International Mission Board missionaries to the Southern Baptist Convention since 1994, I believe.
Wow.
And so it's just been a joy to be involved in ministry and to serve the Lord through my vocation, and it's just continues to be an interesting challenge, but one that I really, really enjoy.
Well, we all say thank you, Don. We are so grateful that we have committed believers who are business professionals to serve the church and our entities. We're so thankful for that, and I want to encourage everyone listening today to treat money in your church with the utmost integrity and do everything in your power. Make sure you're doing a great job and representing Christ in that area. And call Don Setzer. If you need some help, you need to consult with him, just call him 251-689 251-689-5740. Again, that's 251-689-5740. And I want to thank everyone for listening today. Thank you, Don, for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Crane.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.